Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Matt Daly. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade. Cause the boys in the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show, brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
And joining us now is the GM of the Texas Rangers, John J.D. Daniels. How you doing, J.D.?
I'm all right, guys. How are you, man?
Hey, we appreciate you you joining us here on the final visit of the season. And I guess let's just dive in there, and we'll start with, what do you feel like you learned about your team, your manager, your players? What did you learn this season now that it's behind you?
Man, a lot. Start with Woody and the staff. I mean, felt strongly we made it the right call at the time. Feel better about it now. I mean, just his, he's got such a unique blend of confidence and humility, if that makes sense. Like, really intelligent, but really curious. And I think he was able to relate to the guys, top to bottom. And when we got buy-in from some guys early, you saw it with Gallo or Calhoun kind of out of the chute, and the other guys took some time. But I felt like by the end of the year, like, guys understood what he was trying to accomplish and, why we were presenting the information we were and why it was important. And, he said it in the press conference today, like, there were times during the year where I would say, hey, I think we need to address this or that. And he would think about it and he would be really thoughtful. And he'd say, yeah, like, yes, you're right, but this is why I want to wait. And, there are times I felt like maybe, could we have a little more sense of urgency? But, he was playing the long game and he was building relationships and equity with these guys. And I think he accomplished that. I think we're going to be better off going forward because of it. On the team, some really, really bright spots and some guys as well that, need to make some big jumps next year. I think they're capable of it, but, whereas some guys really established themselves and Joey, I thought Willie took obviously a huge step, and, Danny Santana was a, great job by our scouts, and Lynn and Meyer took, big steps, and the back end of the bullpen looked like it was solidifying with some real interesting arms. Like, there are also a bunch of guys that, I think we got through to on as from a preparation side and what they need to do. And maybe we even saw a little bit of turn at the end, but you need to see it kind of wire to wire. And next year's going to be a big year for a number of guys.
Maybe I'm misquoting you, or I want to get, what you meant. I'm sure you're responding to that press conference from earlier, but a lot of people were reporting that you said you wanted to trade a left-handed bat in the off season. Is that accurate?
I said we're going to be open to it. Yeah. I mean, I think Jeff Wilson might ask the question that, between Maz and Joey and Willie and Chu, that we've got four guys basically for three spots. They said, do you have to trade one of them? And I said, no, we don't have to. Guys have options, or, you could carry, we're going to have the extra player on the bench next year and have 26-man roster, so you could, in theory, carry an extra bat and do some different things that way. But, we have other needs, and, it makes sense for us to at least explore that.
What do you make of the season you just saw from Rougned Odor?
I'm going to start with the positive, which was that I saw a really good self-evaluation towards the end. I saw a guy that when we sat down with him, not only could he, talk about what some of the things he was doing wrong, but he's also very aware. He even said, he goes, hey, I know, that there's some criticism of kind of the way, that I carry myself on the field, that it looks like I don't care. He goes, no, that's just me. Like, I give off that vibe. And he goes, it's killing me inside. That's what he said, though. He goes, it's killing me inside that, I know how much better the team would be if I was playing to my abilities. And so that was good. And I really saw him kind of start to understand what it was we're trying to accomplish and be open to training in a different way. And, you know, I don't want to make too much of September, but he did, you know, did perform fairly well against some better pitching. You know, the flip side is he, you know, we can't win with that kind of production, right? And we just, I know 30 and 90 is great, but, you know, with 2 to 3 months of, you know, really subpar performance and inconsistent defense and, you know, stealing bags at a 50% clip, like, that doesn't work. That's not a championship caliber performance. And so he's shown, you know, last year he defended at an elite clip. We've seen what he's capable of when he's locked in offensively. Like, you know, we've got to be able to put it all together. And I think the good thing is, one, he understands it. Two, we've got some guys that, whether it's Solak or Danny or these guys, that are going to provide some competition. And, you know, I think we started to see Ruggie respond.
You know, I'm really interested in this as we talk to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show. I asked this to Eric Nadel earlier, and I think it kind of works in conjunction with the competition at second base. Is next year's third baseman currently in the organization?
I don't know, man. I mean, we're definitely going to look outside in that particular spot and see if there's the right fit for us. Obviously, there's some good players available, but, you know, there's a lot of other teams going to be involved in that, so we'll see. But if we do bring in somebody in from the outside, whether it's trade or free agent or whatever, then, you know, whether it's Danny or Solak or Kiner, I mean, I think you've now created some additional competition at other spots as well.
So in terms of team building, you guys are at an interesting crossroads, moving into a new stadium, a lot of young talent now coming up, and, you know, a couple veteran pitchers who are really, really good, and you could be a few pieces away. But obviously a lot of that comes down to, is it trades? How are you going to go about acquiring that talent? I'll just ask you like this. Do you feel like ownership is going to allow you to go out and be a significant player in the free agent market?
Yeah, we're going to be involved. You know, now what, you know, where that ends up, I don't know, honestly. I mean, so much of it's going to be market driven and what the, you know, what the going rates are and what the acquisition cost is, whether it's trade or free agency. But we're going to be involved. The last couple of years, we're kind of, you know, more at the middle tier free agency, middle to bottom. You know, that's where we got Lynn. That's where we got Minor. I think we're going to be, you know, looking at a bigger pool of players this year. Our payroll is going to go up with the new ballpark. You know, we don't have like a final number on kind of what that's going to be just yet, but you know, we made a decision a few years back that while, you know, other teams kind of use the term like tanking or use a strategy, I should say, kind of tanking, and they got the top draft picks, we were going to do it more the way we've done it in the past, which is just a gradual team building and, you know, adding pieces both internally and externally as the opportunities come up. And so I feel like we've done that. We've got some like legitimate championship caliber players here. We need, you know, quite a bit more, and we need to develop some other guys into that group as well.
Is there a specific thing over anything else that you feel like you guys need?
Probably the top two areas that I see us looking at would be starting pitching and third base. I think those are probably the two areas that we'd like to address if we can. You can make a real case that we can upgrade a number of other spots, right? And we're not going to do so externally in all these areas. Like, some of them are going to be competition from within or development of guys from within. But, you know, catcher, first base, center field are areas that, you know, we can be better in as well.
You know, we've talked about kind of the approach and of this team and of your front office with regard to the catcher position. And, you know, at times there's been players there for you guys who have been more offensive leaning, and then at times there's been more defensive leaning guys. Ideally, you'd find somebody who could do both, but those guys are a little bit like unicorns and really hard to find. So where is your thought process on that moving forward as you build this team? Would you like to kind of stay in with defensive-minded guys, or if you had to choose between offense and defense, would you go with an offensive guy?
You know, we made the call last year to focus on the defensive side we made a decision with Robbie and brought in Jeff. Ultimately, like, you know, Jeff was hurt for part of the year, and you know, we really pushed him. He'd been a 60 game or so guy, and he'd caught 80 games by September 1st this year. And his back got hurt, and I think that's directly related to the workload, and you saw some of his defensive metrics come down. So, I still see it as a defensive position first. We need to give our pitchers every advantage that we can. Now, when you got like Mike Napoli circa 2011, the 900 OPS and 30 bombs in the catcher spot, like that's such a dramatic, competitive advantage that changes how you look at it. But barring something like that, like we're going to prioritize defense there.
We were talking about this earlier. When are you going to know the exact dimensions of the new ballpark? Because sometimes that can impact free agency, right? If it's going to favor a certain type of hitter and some of these kinds of things. So when do you know that you can utilize specific things about the ballpark into your free agent pitch, so to speak?
I mean, we can now. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we'll pitch will be more behind the scenes, the clubhouse, the amenities, the different training elements that we're going to have for the players. As far as the field, I don't know that I personally don't feel like I have a great sense of how it's going to play. The dimensions are going to be not exact, but similar to our current park, meaning, a shorter right field than left field. The foul territory, total foul territory area is going to be somewhat similar, although shaped a little bit different. But we don't know how it's going to play with the lack of wind, when the roof's closed, or the AC, or, that we face a different direction. Home plate faces a different direction than it did now. The alignment's different. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the ball's going to travel, how it's going to fly. I don't think that the surface is going to have any sort of significant difference. If anything, we think it might slow the ball down a tick more, meaning ground balls might not have the same pace getting through the infield because, with the roof closed at times and the sun not baking on the dirt, it won't get quite as dried out and not quite as hard. So we think that should be a plus for our pitching staff. But until we get in there and play a season, we're not going to know 100%.
Man, I really think you guys have done a great job with your legacy program, for lack of a better term, just the way you guys have approached that, being a lifelong Ranger fan. There's a rich history here, but not too rich, only since like 72. But I feel like what you guys have done with Beltre and Michael Young and Josh Hamilton, and now just the way you guys sent out Globe Life Park, I have immense respect for that. I thought it was incredibly well done. And is all of that tied together? Is there somebody in charge of all of that? Is that an organizational thing? Because I kind of see all of those things working in conjunction. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, first, I agree with you. It was a lot of fun this weekend, man. Obviously, the last day was spectacular. The fans were awesome, responded to the ballpark, responded to the alumni coming back, and then the team fit off that and, won a series and played a great game on Sunday. That was awesome. And then to have everybody back was cool. John Blake and Chuck Morgan kind of take the lead in that regard. They did, a really, really good job. But, we want – to like connect the different generations, the teams that kind of established themselves here, the teams that won the fans over and won the ability to build this current ballpark, the teams in the 90s that, made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years and some of the great performances there. And then obviously the teams in the 2000s, the World Series teams, and that kind of blends right into the current club. And it was just cool to see everybody back. It was cool to see the way the fans reacted. Obviously, Nolan coming back and throwing out the first pitch was kind of the cherry on top. And I think it's on us to continue building that legacy, to maintain good relationships with these players. And I think our future guys can learn a lot from these guys coming back as well.
Everybody is always, of course, interested of you and Nolan having an opportunity to visit. Did you guys get a chance to talk? And what was that like?
I didn't see him that day. In large part, I kind of got out of the way early. There was so much going on. We had the president here and different alumni. And so I was kind of with my family and our group up in our suite and just kind of watch the things unfold severally.
And we heard that he was only there for like 15 minutes or so, but that was really cool having him back in the park. And man, thank you so much for taking the time. You don't have to do these interviews. Somehow we've tricked you into doing them every year, and I promise you, we're going to try again to trick you into doing it again next year. But we're certainly grateful for the time and really glad that you come on with us every week. So thanks again for another season.
Yeah, anytime, guys. I appreciate your perspective on things. And, you know, I've told you guys, first of your fans, I appreciate that. You take the kind of carry the message out to our fans. But, you know, I'm always happy to answer any questions, whether they're softballs or tougher ones, and, you know, want to try to be as transparent with what we're trying to do here with our fans as possible.
Awesome stuff, man. And I have a feeling it's going to be an exciting offseason, so you best believe we're going to be hollering at you, trying to get you back on the airwaves soon. Thanks again, and enjoy some much-deserved off time, and we'll talk to you here down the road.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. John Daniels, another fun season of visiting with him every week.
John, what do you really think of Mike Daly?
Just said goodbye to him, but that would have been a good question.
That was good. Kay, get him back
get
on,
him back, Shippy, if you can.
Okay.
For the follow-up.
Golly, why didn't you tell us you had that gold?
He said he was willing to answer any question.
Yeah.
Sean, have you ever covered up a murder?
I think he really likes him.